Good morning. You'll quickly find that I'm more of a teacher than a preacher, but that's how the Lord gifted me, and I have to live within the bounds that he has given me. So this is not my comfort zone, just to let you know, okay? Definitely not. But I really have had this message on my heart for a good long time, and I've talked with Pastor about this message, and I wanted to really share this. And this actually goes back into the 1990s, even before I came here to this congregation, which is home to me. And Pastor asked me several times about sharing it, and the timing just wasn't right. But the verses that I want to go over and the message that God has put on my heart really, they speak personally to me about growing up in Christ. And I'm still doing that, by the way. I mean, I haven't arrived, and I've got to open the Philippians here talking about Paul saying, you know, I haven't obtained it yet, but I reach out to grab a hold of it. So I want to go through some of these verses in Hebrews, and there's a few others. And with the point of view of what my personal experience was, and that was, grow up, Joe. And it was loud and clear, and at the time, wasn't too welcome, quite honestly. I really didn't want to change. But let's look at this first verse. The first set of verses, and this is Hebrews 5:11 through 14. And before we read it, I want to kind of give a little bit of background here. What the writer of Hebrews is doing, he's talking about, as Bill has mentioned, about who Jesus was. He wasn't a priest on the order of Aaron. He was a priest on the order of Melchizedek, who was both a king and he was also a priest. And he had no lineage behind him. Nobody knew what his lineage was. And there was no mention of any lineage afterwards. And he was the king of Salem, which was the king of peace. And many people felt that he was the king that was actually on the area of Mount Moriah where Abraham went and offered his son. And the writer was just going along writing them, and he's writing to Hebrews, in other words, Jews. And all of a sudden, out of the middle of this dialogue of talking about who Jesus was, he just breaks completely out of that, and these verses come out, and they stick out honestly like a sore thumb in the middle of this book. And then later on he goes right back to the theme about who Jesus was. And you gotta kinda ask yourself, why did he do this? So from that point of view, but I'd like for all of you to stand with me. I gotta take a drink of water because I'm gonna stumble over this. We want to honor God's word by standing and reading. So I'm going to ask for you all to read with me, which is our habit is here, okay? So let's start. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Hebrews 5:11 through 14. And you notice this is in New American Standard. I did like the translation for this better than the NIV in this case. I looked through many different translations. So, you can be seated, sorry. I look at many different translations and the original Greek. And I'm not a Greek speaker or a great Greek scholar. I know some of the verbs and some of the words, but I'm a long way from being that. But really, I think these verses have something to talk about. And I'm going to simply say the message that came to me was grow up. And one of the things you see in your bulletin is milk or meat, what satisfies you? Chris, I'm right in the middle. I mean, really? I mean, oh, it even has Joey on it. Okay, well, I wasn't, really, it's not lunchtime yet, but I guess I should open and see what's in it here. Let's see. Okay. Oh, something to drink. Okay. I guess, all right, something to drink. What else we got in here? You know, yummy. What else here, let's see. Oh, more yummy. Now, I was kind of hoping for pureed pork, Bill. You know, I have a couple extra spoons if you want to share with me, you know. And, you know, eating pureed pork, I mean, it's so much easier than eating that meat off the ribs. You know, I mean, that's a lot of hard work. You got to chew that meat off of there, you know. So you're welcome to it, buddy. All right. Well, there you go. He's not liking these titles here. Sorry. I noticed he gave me the spoon back. I guess, all right. Well, maybe my wife knows something. I haven't quite grown up yet. Okay. To think I used to eat this stuff. Okay. I obviously, you can see, milk or meat. And no slight against those who are vegetarians here, but I like my steak. I'm sorry. And I don't want my pork pureed. But you know what? Spiritually, a lot of times, that's the way I act. Okay, I don't want to have to chew it. Too much work, too hard, you know. And milk, what is milk? Milk is just pre-digested food. I mean, the cow eats it, digests it, and gives it to us, you know. And not that there's anything wrong with milk, you know. And when we look at this scripture about the elementary principles, you know, we're talking about the milk. Those are important. We're really going to drink God's milk for the rest of our lives. We really are. Those are the elementary things that are described in chapter 6 as he picks this narrative back up again. But I want to concentrate on this. There was if you think, who was he writing to? He was writing to the Hebrews. These were Jews. They've been taught the Word of God since they were toddlers. They used to write them and put them, actually tie them to their forehead and wear them around. I mean, these guys really know the Word of God, or do they? So he breaks out and he says, concerning him, that is Christ, I have much to say, but you want to know something? You become dull of hearing. And that dull of hearing can be thought of as being slothful. Actually, some commentators said lazy. And they really might have known and memorized the scriptures. They might even have worn them on their foreheads. But they really didn't know what they meant, what it meant. And they're declared babies, infants. Well, back some years ago, I was in prayer, And so I'm going to take a little bit of a personal journey here at the beginning. This was some time ago, and I was in prayer. And God's message, you know how it comes to you. I'm not saying that I'm hearing a shouting in my ear, but there's just that thing that God speaks to your heart. And it was pretty harsh. It says, Joe, it's time for you to grow up. So I said, how am I going to do that, Lord? Actually, that wasn't my first question. My first question was, do I really want to grow up? I mean, that's an important question. Because that means change. We're not really happy with change. You know, and so I went back in the prayer, and it became more emphatic. God said, grow up. Wow. Okay, Lord, I guess I'm supposed to grow up. By the way, I'm still doing that. And obviously my wife doesn't quite think, and she's correct, that I've quite gotten there yet. I don't know, who wrote Joey on it? All those embarrassing baby pictures, you know, with certain clothes missing, all have Joey underneath them. I think my sister has them. She holds me for ransom whenever she wants me to do. All she would have to do is post this up on Facebook and say, okay, Annie, I'll do anything you say. What do you want me to do? But really, I really came to the place where I understood that I really hadn't grown up, to the place where I really had the kind of discernment to know what was from God and what wasn't from God. And I knew I was lacking. And I think the audience that this writer is writing to, the Hebrews, they weren't there either. Oh, they had plenty of book knowledge. They had a lot of book knowledge. And they probably could outquote anybody in this room, chapter and verse, Isaiah, Jeremiah, I mean anything. You know, and that takes a lot of time and effort to learn that word. Okay, let's face it. There's, but you got to kind of ask, who drinks milk and who eats food? It's babies, infants. You know, and it's easier to have somebody else chew your food for you and give it to you. In fact, I'll tell you a story of, I don't know if I should say this. The sisters are here. Chris is laughing. Chris's mom, oh boy, but at least her brother Bobby isn't here. When she had a tough piece of meat, she used to chew it. Sorry, I embarrassed me. She used to chew it and then put it in his mouth and let him eat it. She pre-chewed his food for him. You know, there's nothing wrong with having that or having milk when we're babes in Christ. Listen, the elemental things of God, we always have to drink God's milk. We never outgrow that. Got milk? Gotta have it. Okay, that part. But at some point, we're asked to grow up. At some point, we're asked to grow. We're asked to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity, in 2 Peter. We are, shall I say, commanded to grow up. Listen, it's natural. Babies are supposed to grow up. But how do you do that? How do you do that? By and by, I want to say babies are self-centered. When things don't go their way, they're not happy, and they let you know. Very loudly. But at some point, God wants us to be mature. You know, it's... It gets comfortable coming to church. And I used to tune into this station called WIIFM. And, the station's simple. What's in it for me? Go to church on Sunday, listen to the message, work, take care of my family, mostly staying out of trouble. Okay, a couple times in trouble, but mostly staying out of trouble. And you get to a place of where you're comfortable, but you're really not growing in Christ. You're comfortable. And what are some of the elements that are missing? I'm going to get to that a little bit later about growing up. But it's easy to have someone come up and share the scriptures for you. I mean, that's what pastors are for, and teachers and all the other. Isn't that their job, you know? But you can get comfortable, and you get in this rut. And I think what God was telling me was, Joe, that's not where I want you. You need to grow up. These Jews that were being addressed needed to grow up. They didn't lack intellectual knowledge, but they did lack something. They didn't know how to chew solid food. They weren't chewing the Word of God where it is the most important. And that is, they didn't really have a complete picture of who Christ was. They had a book learning, but what were they doing with it? They were being lazy, quite honestly. I was being lazy. Well, I got a lot of growing up to do. I'm still in that process. Even though this message came to me quite a while ago, I have Philippians open here. Not that I have obtained it, that is this completeness. But you know what? I'm still reaching out to take hold of what Christ has taken hold of me for. I'm still in that process. We're always going to be growing up. I can't afford to be sluggish. I can't afford to be lazy. You know, young children are by nature self-centered. They don't think outside of themselves about what they can do. And that becomes hard work. It's easy to have someone else take care of you. This is a time when we all want to have service. Everybody's a specialty type of things. Air conditioning, I'll go to an air conditioning specialist and get him to fix it. You know, he knows how to do it. You know, but there's something that we have to do ourselves that no one else can do, and that is grow up. Grow up in the Word. I noticed that the spiritual infants that were in those verses, specifically verse 5, 11 through 13, are criticized for being not accustomed, which can be translated unskilled, in the word of righteousness. Now, I would have thought that God would have wanted to put in the word of love or some other thing, but it's the word of righteousness. And you know, when I think of the word of righteousness, two things. Literally the person who is our righteousness, the living word, that is Christ. And the word of righteousness, his written word that he's left us, that is right and true. He is truth. He is truth. You know, they weren't criticized for lack of love. They were not criticized, these Jews, for breaking any laws. What they were criticized for was a lack of maturity. What they were criticized was they were not growing in discernment. This must be important, and it's connected to this word of righteousness. You know, there's a penalty for not growing up. There's a penalty, spiritually too. I was reading some comments by Warren Wiersbe, and he may not be a deep Greek theologian, but he sees practical things. And a couple things he said really stood out to me. He says, you know what? As a Christian, if you're not moving forward, you're going backwards. What I'm saying is think of it as a stream, and you're paddling up the stream, and you're paddling away, and you stop paddling. You know, the young Christian is enthused. They want to know, and they're growing, and they're going along, and they stop paddling, become comfortable. I'll tell you, if you're going upstream and you stop paddling, you're going backwards. This is the Christian walk. God means for us to go forward, to grow up. Babies need to grow up. I need to grow up. And if you're not paddling forward, you're going backwards. Simple. I really, truly believe that to be true. The other thing is that he mentioned was about being betweeners. Are you a betweener? I've spent a lot of time, and I still spend time there. What do I mean by betweeners? I'm talking about people that are caught between Egypt and Canaan. I'm talking about people who are caught between, and I'm including myself. I'm not lifting myself up. Who are caught between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. I recognized this in myself for so long, and I am sad to say I see it in a lot of Christians today. They're saved by the blood. They accept Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for them. But you know what? They're not living in the joy of the resurrected life. And we know joy is different than happiness. Pastor spoke on that many times here, particularly over the last couple months. We don't really like change. And there's another thing. Babies aren't happy when they're not being served. Babies by nature are self-serving. And if you notice in our scripture, and let me read it again, by this time you ought to be teachers. You say, well, I'm not a teacher in gifting. All Christians, all followers of our Christ are teachers of Christ. When we witness, you are going to be my witnesses in all the world. We are teaching Christ. When we help someone, we're teaching Christ. When we pour our love out on someone, we're teaching Christ. We're all to be teachers. If you're not moving forward, you're going backwards. If you're not enjoying the resurrection life, the joy, the happiness that comes of resurrection, then you can be sure that you haven't arrived. And that's okay. We never get there. But you know, there should be periods of time that we are spending there. We should be spending time in the joy. Well, I'm saved by the blood. Well, that's true. And I would say, okay, now what? I hate to be hard about it, but wow, now what? Are you being a teacher? We're all called to be a teacher. So I came to some conclusions here. First of all, I realized that there were three elements here. One was knowing Christ personally. The second was knowing his word. There's a reason why he left it behind to us, in such a way that it connects with the living word, and doing something with that. Doing something with it. Those were the three things. First of all, I need to know Christ and His Word so well that there's no other words or no one else, nothing that anyone else can say that can give me a counterfeit message. And the reason for that is I have done my homework. And that little bell goes off when I hear what's not right. That's knowledge. It's not necessarily always wisdom, but it's knowledge. But now I've got to know Christ. And I'm convinced that if we don't, we just cannot have a complete picture of Christ without knowing and experiencing His righteousness. We need to know the word of righteousness. We are only seeing part of Christ when we just look at the love. Is God love? Oh, He's fully love. But He's also fully truth. He's also fully righteous. If we don't see, and I hate to trivialize, it's like a coin. If we don't see both sides of the coin, we're not seeing the coin. You see the head, and you say, love. And, oh, that's true. God is love. You go the other side, and God is righteous. He's truth. And there's a hard edge to that, just like there's an edge to a coin. Because He wants you to do something with that. And I don't like change. My wife probably can testify. When I'm sick, I'm the biggest baby you ever want to see. No. I just want to be served and then left alone. Just serve me and don't talk to me. And one thing, don't touch me. My skin hurts when I'm sick. I could tell you some stories on that one. Okay. I've become convinced then that unless we chew God's word, we cannot grow spiritually. We come to an impasse. We need to use it. We need to live it. And we need to share it. Because if I'm not moving forward, what am I doing? I'm moving backwards. In this world, a Christian has to paddle upstream. It's the way it is. The sermon comes as we work on it. You want to know what? The sermon is an on-the-job training. I do IT work. I set up virtual servers. Some people call it complex. And I've dealt with a lot of people that had some book learning, and they come out of college. But you want to know something? They can't set a network up. Why? Because they've never done it before. They've never set up a working network from start to finish. I mean from no wire to a complete working system. That takes experience. By reason of use, they will have their senses trained to know what is good and what is evil. You got to use it. If you want it, you got to use it. All right, let's have a little fun. How can I learn to discern? Hi. This is George. I know him. I know George. All right. If I were to ask you, let's say you're taking a class and I'm your professor, and I ask you, I said, well, I'd like you to write me a paper on the life cycle of frogs and how they live. What do they do? What does a frog do all day? All right. Croak? It does some of that during the day. Now, being honest, if I was your professor and I wrote you that paper and that grade was important to you and you had to write that paper and I gave you that assignment, Honest now, how many of you would just go to the internet to look up frogs? That's what I'd do. Huh? Right? All right. Now, old concept. Are there any of you that would actually go to a library, maybe? A couple? Nobody? Oh, my. Just a couple will go to the library. Okay. You can find media, multimedia stuff there. All right. Still being honest here. How many of you would you go to the pond by your house and watch the frogs? Hey, I got one here. Good for you. Brian's going to go down to the pond, you know. In fact, I'm going to make it this way. I want the paper on your frogs in your neighborhood, your pond. Oh, I didn't tell you that before. So that when you see the frogs, you can say, oh, well, that's Fred, and there's George. There's George, and there's Sally, and Matilda over here, you know. And I watch them and observe them during the day. How much time do they sit on the lily pad? How much do they sit in the shade? How much time do they look for food? You know, and I want you to write this paper. In other words, I guess what I'm saying to you is that I'm going to have to go down in the pond and get my feet dirty. Okay, yes, I will have to do that. If you really want to know how your frogs are doing, you're going to have to get your feet dirty. In the spiritual world, if I really want to know God's word, I have to see how it works in my life. I have to use it. And I have to take those results back to God in that relationship. Remember the three things. I have to have a relationship with Christ. I have to know his word. And I have to do what he asked me to do. Because I want to grow in discernment. If I want righteousness, if I want to understand righteousness, and that's the only way you can understand the complete picture of who Christ is, I'm going to have to get my feet dirty. You're going to have to go to the scriptures and read them for yourself. There is a place for teachers. God ordains them in the scripture. But that doesn't negate our responsibility as believers to go to the word and in prayer and in relationship with Christ and see what he tells us to do with that word. Because if we don't do it, we will never be experienced in handling the word of righteousness. We will never have a complete picture of who Christ is. Because to me, the two great personalities that God has and displays in the Bible is his great love, loving kindness all through the Old Testament, and his righteousness. Oh, it's all over. And you want to talk about, right, in the New Testament, read Romans. Talks about his righteousness, dozen times. His truth. God is truth. I am the truth in the way and the life. Christ is my righteousness. I'm missing half of Christ if I don't understand his righteousness. And it says here in this verse that if I don't use it, I don't know it. Now, I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm saying this to myself because I haven't achieved any kind of super ability in this. For some reason, God gives me a mind that just actually sometimes becomes a curse where I actually dream about this stuff and actually get woke up in the middle of the night and these scriptures run through my brain. I don't know why. It's just, I'm not saying anything trying to lift myself up. I'm just saying it's not always pleasant either because I miss a lot of sleep that way, Some of the best, let me say this, some of the best message sermons I've ever heard in my life were done at 3:30 in the morning while I laid there half awake. Not to my credit. That was God. All God. All right. Well, let's get a little practical. I hope a little practical. Learning discernment is a practice that needs the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, we do. But the food for inspiration is both the knowledge of the written word and a real relationship with the living word, Jesus. There's the practice of it. There's the knowing of it. And there's the doing of it. But the food for inspiration, I'm sitting here on top of a mountain and go, and I'm waiting for inspiration. The food for inspiration is actually the Word of God. And if you don't study it, you don't have the food to feed the inspiration. Because I'll tell you, more often than not, when I'm in prayer and I'm looking for God to give me direction, it's His words that come back to me that give me the inspiration. And if I'm not going to do the perspiration of the study, what was the inventor that says it's 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration? Well, I don't know about that ratio, but I know if you don't put the perspiration in, you're not going to get the inspiration. I can tell you that from firsthand. You got to. That's how you're going to grow up. Not making any accusations. Applies to me. So let's take a look at the relationship between revelation, knowledge, and action. All right, is a deeper understanding of the Word, which is necessary for this, a revelation of the Holy Spirit to the believer? Or is it a matter of diligent study, good training, and practice by the believer? I think you guys already caught it. Anybody know the word both? Both. Both. It's true. Let's use a little analogy. Here's a friendly guy. Man, he can grow some crops, can't he? What does it take to have a harvest of righteousness? What does it take for me to have a harvest of righteousness? Well, you take a look at this farmer. And he goes and he wants to have an abundant harvest. It could mean his very life. Well, first he needs to obtain some seed some way. Now, the original seed he can't make. Listen, God has to give us a new heart and write His law upon our heart. He has to give us the seed of inspiration. We can't make it. That relationship with Jesus is essential. And by the way, if there's someone in this room who has not opened their heart to Jesus, please come and see me after this, or Bill. We want to talk to you. But you have to have that seed. Now he has to take that seed and plant it in the ground. And he's going to have to weed it and feed it and fertilize it. Now, if he does all that, but he doesn't have the seed, I will tell you, nothing grows. Nothing grows. You know, if he plants that seed and doesn't take care of it, that crop is going to be choked out by weeds. It's not going to grow. And he's going to have a really poor harvest. That might mean his life. But if he does all those things and it grows into a healthy crop, and here's the doing part of it, and he doesn't harvest it, it rots in the ground. It rots in the ground. It's of no use to anybody. That food is wasted. It has to be harvested. We need to do something with the word that God gives us. And while we're doing things out of who we are, do you know that we are affected? Who we are is affected by what we do. It's both ways. Oh, yes, being affects doing. But I will tell you this, doing affects being who you are. I don't want the same things I had when I first came to Christ. My wanters have changed. Okay. Now, we need to be trained. And one of the commentators said this thing about your senses being trained. He described it as an organ of perception. We need our organ of perception. It's sort of like, you know, the appendix. It's kind of useless if you're not, you know, what good is an appendix anyway? I'm not too sure. Do I have the right side? I can't remember which. I still have my appendix, so if you hear me go into the hospital, you pull it out. But this organ is useless also if you don't use it. Listen, the organ of perception is you need God's discernment to make right choices. There's a penalty for not growing up. And it's not just making bad decisions. It's about whether or not you're going to be blessed by God. And I didn't say easy. I didn't say the word easy with blessed. But that relationship, that's a blessing. So, as we get down to this, and we look at it, we come to some of the hard choices in life. Discernment is not simply a matter of telling the difference between what is right and wrong. If I tell you it's wrong to lie and to steal and say, hey, that's pretty easy. I'm a Christian, I read the Bible, and it's wrong to commit adultery. It's wrong to steal. Respect your parents. Listen, we know what's really right and really wrong. The real test is when we have to make a choice between what is right and what is almost right. We have to have our senses trained to know that. Are we always going to make the right choice? No. But we're going to take that back to God, and we're going to look in His Word, and we're going to find out what went wrong. I went out there and I testified of you, Christ, and I just got shot down. What happened? And I go back in prayer, and I talk to the Lord, and I look at His Word and say, what did I do wrong? What happened? But look, if we can use the Word of God, we're going to start to make more and more right decisions. And we're going to have our senses trained. That organ of perception will start to grow, start to develop. Okay? Let's take an example of this as we start to close down. I know I've been talking a long time. I don't even know what time it is. I'm okay, I think. Let's take two verses and kind of put ourselves in a place of when is it hard to have discernment? When is discernment really difficult? Practically, Joe, give me something practical. I wish I could give you all the answers, but remember, I'm not growing up either. I'm still Joey. There are times when I'm just Joey, not Joe. I know that. Let's take a look at some verses here. Those are the ones I want. Okay. Bear one another's burdens, and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. Then let's look at another one. For each one will bear his own load. I don't know about you, but the first time I read those, I said they were contradictory to each other. And you know what? I actually thought of dozens and dozens of scriptures I could have laid up out here and said, wow, these seem to be in contrast to each other. How do I make a choice between these things? Let's say there's someone that you're helping. you're in a relationship with somebody, or there's a neighbor you're wanting to help, or there's a fellow coworker you're trying to help, or there's a family member you're trying to help, and you're trying to help them, they're carrying a heavy load. And we've all heard about enabling and all the other stuff. When do I know that I should be helping that person carry that load? And when do I know I need to back off and they need to, there's only something that they can carry? Are they doing the things of God? There's only a load that they can do, and no one else can do it for them. I can't make somebody be a Christian. I can't make them study the Word. I can't make them obey the Word of God. And there's some discernment that needs to be made. Maybe I start out helping them with their burdens. And maybe God comes to me and says, you know what, Joe? They have to carry their own burden. You can't carry it for them. The time has come to cut the strings and let them carry the burden. Because I'm actually interfering with you, God, with what you're doing in their life. And I need your discernment to know that. And we'll find that our most difficult decisions, if discernment's decisions, are really involving people in relationships. And that could be my relationship with God. I'm struggling. And boy, many times I struggle. I struggle. And I go out and I walk outside and I pray. And I'm struggling to accept what he wants me to do, or I'm struggling not to have resentment against God, or I'm struggling to even believe the words that he's giving me. And I'm in struggling, and I'm in relationship with the Lord, and I'm having problems. And I need to hear from him. Or maybe I'm in a relationship with someone I care very deeply about, a child, a spouse. How do I make those right decisions? Well, I'm not here to give you the right answer other than this. By reason of use, you will have your senses trained, knowing what is good and what is evil. And we're going to talk a little bit more of that right at the end here. Excuse me, I'm getting a little dry. All right, let's make it personal. Next one. James 1:23-25. The theme is just do it. All right, I'm going to read this. You guys don't have to stand or read with me on this. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face. Now this is the natural man. His natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself, and maybe God even showed him something about himself, but he's a natural man and he's trying to solve his own problems. He's not going to God with them. For once he has looked at himself, maybe saw something, and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. I'm going to stop there for a second. This man, this woman, looks in the mirror. Maybe God even shows them something, but they're not a doer. So intellectually, they may understand what God's showing them in the mirror, but they're not doing anything about it. They're walking away. He quickly forgets what God showed him or what he saw in the mirror. And since he's a natural man, he's only trying to solve his problems in the natural way. I'll use my logic. Just let me do it. That's like God's flying the airplane and you say, move over, Jesus, I want to grab the yoke. It's foolish, but that's what the natural man does. Now look at the other one. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, which, by the way, I can tell you through lots of study, you can actually read that even the law of Christ, because he's the one that gives us liberty. Okay, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Listen, I said there was a penalty for not growing up. That, not being blessed unless you do this, that's part of the penalty. Listen, Jeremiah was blessed, and he was thrown in the cistern. Joseph was blessed. He was thrown in the well. He was sold as a slave, and he went to prison. Okay. David was hiding in caves, blessed by God, but Saul wanted to put a spear through his middle. I didn't say easy. Blessed means I'm in close communication with my Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that means. Okay. So let's go on. This is my paraphrase on these verses that we've already been covering. For anyone who drinks only of milk has no experience in the righteousness of the word, for they are a spiritual baby. But solid food, or meat, is for the mature and complete follower of Christ, who because of their long practice, that's what Weiss said that means, long practice, have their discerning perceptions trained, stripped of any encumbrance, and ready for action, for they are able to discern what is from God and what is not from God. You say, well, where do you get this stripped of encumbrance? It turns out that the word trained there is a Greek word that is used for athletes preparing for an athletic event like the Olympics. And by the way, in those days, they used to strip down. Boy, did they ever. Sometimes they stripped everything down in those Olympics then, the Greeks. But you had to get that encumbrance. You had to get whatever's on you off to train. Okay. You had to me, that's telling me, Joe, get rid of the things that are holding you back, that are wrapping you up. Get rid of the grave clothes. Get rid of the things that are hindering you. Get rid of the habits that are choking you. Unencumber yourself so that I could be trained, ready for action. And here's the benefit. I'm going to be able to discern, and this was in one of the Bible commentaries I read, knowing good and evil. Literally, they translated it, what is from God and what is not from God. So while I can't give you the answer to you, the discernment problem that you may have today, I can say that by reason of use, having your senses trained, that you can determine what's from God and what's not from God. And the three things were what? Knowing Jesus intimately, knowing his word, and doing something with it. Going out and doing something with it. All right. My long-windedness has come to an end. But I have some challenges. I said earlier, Lord, do I even want to change? First challenge, do you really want to have God directing your life? It's not a trivial question. Oh, right away a Christian says, of course I want God directing my life. Are you sure? Are you sure you want God directing your life? Are you willing to surrender what you think is right and accept God's righteousness? Because the word of righteousness is doing what is right in God's eyes. Not just what's permissible, but what is right. Are you willing to work to live in the joy of a resurrected life? Joy doesn't come easy. We're caught between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. If God is asking you, it's time to grow up, you're going to have to spend some time in the joy of the resurrected life. Last question. How willing are we, and by the way, all these apply to me, how willing are we to be changed by God to have a more intimate relationship with Jesus? Because one of the key things is this inspiration. While the Word of God is the is the food for inspiration. We have to have that inspiration. And in order to have that, we have to have that complete, intimate picture of God. Not just where we receive his love, but we receive his truth. We need the whole picture. Are we willing to be changed by God? To have that intimate relationship with Jesus? Now, these aren't questions I can answer. I can only answer them for me. And I'm still working on it. And I sometimes do a poor job. I don't want anybody to think that in any way I think of myself above anybody else. Below, actually. I struggle, and I know that I need to grow up. And my wife is a good barometer of that because she tells me, you know, something, and she's perfectly right. You're really acting like a baby. And she said it to me many times. And you know what? She's right. So these questions. Do I want God directing my life? Do I want to live in the joy of the resurrected life? Am I willing to have God change me so I can be closer to Jesus? These are the questions that we need to have answered. Now, the worship group is going to come up and play a final song about knowing Jesus. During this time, you don't have to stand. I mean, just whatever God directs. But I'd like you to spend some time in prayer with the Lord and go over these questions. Do you really want to grow up? Is God shouting in your head? It's time for blank, your name. It's time for you to grow up in Christ. Because I know he's told me it's time for me to grow up. So I want to wish you all a wonderful day today. I've just poured out what's in my heart. And I hope that it is received. Every truth that you heard today is from God. If there were any errors that were said, they're mine, because God makes no errors. Thank you very much.